Good morning, everybody. This time of year, if you've been around New Hope any length of time, I do a little mini series of messages that lead up to Easter Sunday. And today is usually the message that I do and teach on the Exodus. Next week, I do the Passover message, and I will do the Passover Seder and what that means to us as Gentile believers. But this week, as I was studying, God just began to reveal some more truth to me and more revelation about what the festivals are, what Passover means, what are these things that we call Moedim, the appointed times of God. And in the Old Testament, and they were directed for the most part to the Jewish people, to the Israelites. And I began to look into them in Leviticus, and we'll go there shortly. I don't know if any of you have ever read Leviticus. It is a very difficult book to read. I ain't gonna lie. And there's some just flat out nasty stuff in there. Just if you like medical stuff and all this, you'll love it. But it was the time that God was giving them the law, and a lot of God's laws were social laws. A lot of the things that they were to do or not to do had to do with dealing with one another and being safe. And so I started reading in this and studying for my Exodus message. And if you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 1. But as I began to dig, I realized just so much more that my teaching the last few years on the Passover or the Pesach or the Exodus and how God implemented Passover, I've basically just been kind of scratching the surface on what these things actually mean and how they connect with us today. And so we're going to start in Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 6. And this is God giving Moses the laws, and this is the part, well, let's just go ahead and read it. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins, and for 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast." Now that term appointed festivals is a term that we've used before in Hebrew. It's Moedim, and it means the appointed times. Basically what God was saying, these are the appointments that I am scheduling with you as my people. Now, when you have an appointment with someone like me, I put it in my phone so that I do not forget. And that does not mean that I don't forget. So I actually have to put an alert on certain things. Otherwise, I will forget. But God is saying, you know what? Put this in your organizer. Put this in your phone. Put these times in your phone because they are very important. These are times, these are things that he scheduled with his people. These were times that they were to set aside, do nothing else but focus on these appointments that God was making with them. And in Psalm 104, verse 19, it says, "He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down." That phrase, "mark the seasons," is moed, which is the root word for moedim. So the moon marks the seasons. And in order to understand the festivals, in order to understand how many of you have ever thought about Easter and We have Good Friday, and according to tradition, Jesus died on Good Friday, correct? And then he rose on Sunday morning, correct? And Jesus says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall I be in the earth for 3 days before my resurrection. Any of you ever done the math? It doesn't work. And the reason is because we go by the Gregorian calendar, and it is based on the sun. The Hebrew calendar is based on the moon. Notice how God said in Psalm here, he said, he made the moon to mark the seasons. And the sun knows when to go down. The moon is the focus in the Hebrew calendar. And we'll get into that later, but when you look at how this is played out according to the Hebrew calendar, it actually adds up to 3 days. So put your minds at rest. Stop getting your calculators out and trying to figure it out. Because according to the Gregorian calendar, it doesn't work out. But according to the Hebrew, it does. So what I've decided to do this year, because I've always stopped at Pesach or Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what I've decided to do this year is as these festivals come up in the calendar, because God told them when they're supposed to do it, when you're supposed to celebrate them. So in 50 days after Easter, or the Feast of First Fruits, is Shavuot. And we, on the 50th day, or thereabouts, will look at what Shavuot is. And then there's the fall festivals, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so when those, we come to those in the calendar, I will speak on those as well. And as I began to read and to study and to go into all of what God has established in his word, it's unbelievable. In Leviticus 23, it talks about the beginning of time from creation all the way to the redemption of his son Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And so today we're going to take a look at what the festivals are. But I thought it was very interesting in verse 2 of Leviticus, in verse 1 actually, he says, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as assemblies." So he's talking about the festivals, and then in the very next sentence, he says, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." So God is saying, I am going to show you these festivals, but first, you need to make sure that you keep the Sabbath. You need to make sure that you understand what Sabbath, or Hebrew Shabbat, is. Before he lists them, he says, this is important. This is very important. In fact, you need to understand this before you even get into the festivals, before you can even understand what they mean. So today, we're going to take a look at the Sabbath rest from Leviticus chapter 23 and the things that it talks about, the things that are pictures of what we are to understand and what we are to keep precious as an appointed time. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And it says, "By the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he all of the work of creating that he had done." The Sabbath was to be a reminder that God is the creator of all. On the seventh day, we are to understand and reflect on the fact that we were created by him. That there's nothing under the universe, under the stars, that was not created by him. And it also says something very specific. It says, We are created as mankind in his image. It's the only thing that he ever created that was in his image. So the Shabbat, the first part of the Shabbat that we are to remember is that God is our creator. It speaks and looks back to the creation, everything that he did. And as we were created in his image, we are representatives of God to the rest of creation. What an incredible call. But every seventh day, we are to be reminded of God's creation. So let's go on. In Exodus chapter 16, this is, we're talking about the Israelites when they are in the wilderness and all of the things that are going on there. God has sent down this manna. That's actually the Hebrew word is manna, and it means what is it? Because the people walked out and went, what is it? They had no idea. So we're going to pick it up in Exodus 16, verses 14 through 16. And it says, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. So God, in his provision, he also lays the rules or the groundwork on how this is going to work. He says, take what you need. He didn't say take as much as you can get. He didn't say, okay, everyone line up on this line over here and like an Easter egg hunt, go, and everyone just starts running after this stuff. He says, no, take what you need. An omer for each person in your tent. So let's go down to verse 19. It says this, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. So God says, pick up what you need, and don't pick up more than you need, and don't try to save it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. There's a shocker. And I always put myself into the story, and I'm thinking, you know what? This stuff might not show up tomorrow. So we better get twice as much as what we need. We don't have to tell Moses about it, but you go out, I'll tell my daughters, you go out and get a couple omers for yourselves just in case God's provision doesn't come through. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. God has a great sense of humor. He really does. It was just starting to stink a little bit, kind of like that milk where you open it up and it's past the expiration date, but you're not quite sure. And you've got that bowl of cereal already poured, and you really want that cereal, and it's like, and then you smell it, and it's like, oh no, there ain't no cereal today. Well, not only did it stink, it had maggots in it. Imagine going to your omer that you thought you'd just keep for yourself just in case we didn't have enough, and it's full of maggots. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. He said, eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. So here we have the Sabbath as a perfect picture of God's provision. He says, I will give you everything that you need. Just trust me. But we don't. Am I right? When I worked construction, I always tried not to work on Sundays, but sometimes I just had to work on Sundays. And so I would go to work after I went to church. I went to church first, but then I would go to work. And God, in his infinite wisdom, established these rules not to be mean, but because he knows our personalities. He knows that we will run ourselves into the ground if it wasn't for him. He knows that we would become so busy that we would forget about him. And he says, you know what? On the Sabbath, on the Shabbat, you're not to do any work. And you don't have to worry about it because I'm going to provide. And all that extra gathering, God will give you enough in 6 days to take care of you for seven. So the Shabbat, the Sabbath, is a picture not only of God's creation, but of his provision for his creation. So let's continue on. Exodus 31, verse 16 and 17. It says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath. Here it is again. Celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath was to be a sign between God and his people. If you're married and you wear a wedding ring, I'm apologizing, I don't have mine on right now, but that wedding ring is a sign of a covenant that I have made with my wife. And God says, the Sabbath, as you keep it, it will be a sign to the other nations around you, because the other nations around you did not have this. So as the other nations around them would observe the Israelites, it was God's plan that they observed the Sabbath, kept it holy, kept it set apart, kept it sanctified as a sign to the other nations. It was God's wedding ring to his people. And it also says that it is a sign between me and the Israelites forever. Forever. The Shabbat was supposed to be a sign for all eternity. A picture of rest. God often said, you know what? I will lead you beside still waters. I will lead you to a place where you need to rest. I rested on the seventh day from creating things. You are supposed to rest on that day as well and set it aside, make it holy, sanctify it so that we can spend time together on that day. It was an eternal sign between God and his people. Now we're talking about the festivals and we're leading up to the festivals, and as Gentiles and as Messianic Jews, the festivals were all focused around sacrifice. Well, the temple is gone. Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished." So there are no more sacrifices. He says, He was the last sacrifice needed. So the festivals, as their focus is on sacrifice, are not done today. These were things that they were supposed to do up until the point of the coming of the Messiah. But we can learn. We see God's redemptive picture in the festivals. And we see it also in the Shabbat. So it was a sign, and it was an eternal sign. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. So those of you who don't like the Old Testament, we'll go to the New Testament. We'll see what that has to say about. And if you don't like the Old Testament, shame on you. Shame on you. Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. So here, what's he talking about? The promise of entering his rest. He's talking about the future. So the Sabbath isn't just pointing to his creation. It isn't just pointing to his provision. It isn't just pointing to the sign between him and his people. It's pointing forward to his ultimate goal of redemption and restoration of all mankind to himself. He says, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed, what? Enter that Shabbat. We enter into that rest. Through our belief in Jesus Christ, God has promised that we will have rest. How many of you have ever had people say, yeah, unbelievers, I don't know how you believe in a wicked God. I don't know how you believe in a God that is as cruel as he is and he allows all these things to happen. All the horrible things that go on in this world and they blame God for it. I don't know how you can believe in him. And the thing is, he never promised that these things would not happen during our time period. But what he does promise is that for those who believe, I will give them rest. He's talking about eternity with him. He's talking about that place where he reigns and there are no more wars and rumors of wars. There are no more tears. There's no more sorrow. There's no more suffering. What an incredible place. And that is what he calls his rest, his Shabbat. So how does that rest happen? That's great, but how does that happen? So we need to go into Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and what? This is Jesus speaking. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I never really understood that verse until now. He's talking about the Sabbath being a type and a shadow of that which was to come. That is the reason that he came, so that we as believers may have rest. You ever notice that there are 7 days in a week? There are 7 days in a Hebrew week as well. And on that seventh day is the day that God rested from creation. It is the seventh day that we are to rest. Number seven, is a number of completeness. And when Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls, he's talking about when everything has come to its completeness. In the end is when we will find rest for our souls. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, it says, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Never really understood that one either. But when you put it into context of God establishing the Sabbath, reminding us of his creation, reminding us of his provision, reminding us of the redemption the plan that he has for us and reminding us of who is going to fulfill that, Jesus is saying, I am the one that is going to make it possible for you to enter into the Sabbath rest when everything is done. He says, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. What an incredible picture. I had no idea. I just remember that the Sabbath and keep it holy is in one of the Ten Commandments. I just thought that meant you just had to go to church. I thought that meant that you just, well, you know, you kind of did whatever you're going to do. You can watch some football if it's on. If you go onto the NFL Network, there's still football on. I watched the Seahawks beat the 49ers in the Division Championship Series in 2013 last night. But our relationship with God is seen in our rest. Because the thing is we get so busy, we get so tied up with the circumstances of our lives, we get so busy with all the things, it's like, you know, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just so busy, I just need to relax. That's absolutely true, you do. But who are you relaxing with? Are you relaxing and reflecting upon as God appointed it? Are you reflecting on him as your creator? Are you reflecting on him as your provider? Are you reflecting on him as the redemptive person, as the one who made the plan to restore us to him? And reminds us in that eternity with him is the goal, where we will receive our ultimate rest. See, that's what the Sabbath is. It's not just sitting at home, cooking up burgers, and doing nothing. It's not about the seventh day in the week. It's about reflecting on who he is and who we are in him, the work that he has done already, and thanking him for what is to come, his promises. You see, in the messianic prophecies and the prophecies of the Old Testament, God is batting 1,000. And there are some prophecies that have not come true yet, but I guarantee you, he will have batted 1,000 when it's all said and done. He's on a pretty good roll right now. And the things that are to come, by looking at what have already come, my money's on him. And he says, set aside that day. Set aside one day out of seven. It's not about the day. It's about what you do on that day. We are to set it aside to focus on our relationship with him in Jesus Christ. It reflects the creation, the redemption, the restoration, and the relationship that he wants to have with us. So in order to understand the festivals, I now understand why God put that thing in there about the Sabbath first. Because if we don't understand the Sabbath, we can't understand the festivals to come. We just can't. And the problem was, as we study Ezekiel, our class, and Isaiah, one of the first things that they stopped doing was observing the Sabbath, a weekly appointment with their God. One of the things that they did do is they continued having and celebrating the festivals, but they had forgotten the Sabbath rest. They were going through the motions. They were offering up the sacrifices at the festivals. They were bringing all of the sacrifices still to the temple or the tabernacle, but they had forgotten the Shabbat, the resting in Him. And it got to the point where they began to worship God in their own way. And He says, you know what? Your sacrifices are a stench in My nostrils. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but they forgot the first part. They forgot the relationship. And they were actually supposed to do the same thing with the land, with the creation. God says, just as you have a rest once a week, the land is to have a rest once every 7 years. You're to let that land replenish itself, re-nourish itself. And if you watch, and if you look at good farmers today, they will let a crop rest because the nutrients have been all gathered out of it. So God made a law. He says, do not plant anything in the seventh year. You harvest whatever grows up, but do not plant anything else. And what did they do? They just kept planting. They kept planting. They kept planting. They kept planting. And God says, okay, since you have refused to follow My Shabbat, I am going to exile you for this many years. And it was the same amount of years that they had refused to give the land its rest. And remember, the first part is we are His representatives to the rest of creation. We have been called to take care of the rest of creation. And when we abuse it, when we abuse that which has been created by Him, He's not happy. So God counted out how many Sabbaths for the land that they refused to give the land, and that's the exact same amount of years that they were exiled from Jerusalem. See, we're to understand these things. They're written down for a reason. I used to read Leviticus and go, oh, dear Lord, seriously, how many times can You tell me about the law? Well, the reason He had to repeat it, because He knew they were going to reject it. They were going to begin to skip the appointments that they had with God. And I don't know about you. Have you ever had an appointment with someone and they didn't show up? I did that to Pastor Lee about a month ago. Totally forgot. Had it in my phone. Totally forgot. And Pastor Lee was sitting there saying, oh, no, He'll be here. Oh, He'll be here. Does God do that to us? No. Jim will be here. I know Him. He'll be here. He may be a little late, but He'll be here. And finally, Pastor Lee left and called me. And I looked at my phone and went, oh, no. I missed my appointment with Pastor Lee. And He was gracious. And we serve a gracious God, but He wants us to keep those appointments. He wants it to become habit in our lives to set aside time for Him. Because like I said, the circumstances of your life will begin to eat you alive. And we need that weekly appointment with Him to say, no, this is for God. This time, God gave me 6 days, I can do whatever I want. He said, the seventh day, that's for Me. You realize it's just a little over 10%? Pastor Henry, come on now, you're the numbers guy. But He wants us to keep those times. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. There are 7 days for every Sabbath. The seventh day is a Sabbath. And there are 7 festivals or feasts that God gave His people. And next week, we're going to talk about, actually, we're going to do the Passover Seder. Pesach is what it is called. But we see, once again, God's perfect picture or foreshadowing of the Messiah, of his redemptive plan. He shows it over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And he refers to it in the New Testament. And so we are going to focus on these things because it's incredible revelation of who God is and who we are in him. And like I said before, there are no more sacrifices to be made. And the festivals actually became more about agriculture and the harvests, and the meaning behind them became lost. They began to just go through the motions. Oh, this is what we have to do. Let's just do it. Kind of like a person who just, I have to go to church. Just do it. Punching my get out of hell free card. Just do it. Get it out of the way. Find a place that has an earlier service so you can catch the 10 o'clock football game. That's not what it's about. When we gather here on a Sunday, we gather to worship him. We gather to set aside this time to gather with other people, to connect with one another, to lift one another up. I had a week from Hades last week. I actually canceled both of my classes on Tuesday and Wednesday night. I was done. I was fried. We were so stinking busy at work. And it's like I thought, there's no way I can teach God's word. There's no way. And I just set that time aside and prayed because I needed it. I was worn out. I was burnt out. And you know what, God? He's so good. He filled me again. It's kind of like the car when you, I got enough gas. And then, I drive for a living, for the most part. And I look at my gauge, my van has 333,000 miles on it. Original engine. And the gas gauge doesn't quite work all the time. And so, I kind of gauge by how many miles I've gone, by how much gas I have left. And I thought, okay, well, I don't need to go to the gas station now. I'm just going to go to work, and I've got enough to get back, and I'll be fine. Well, in the midst of last week, we had so many surgeries that I ended up going to 4 or 5 different hospitals in town that I hadn't planned on going to. And then I was on my way out to Kootenai in Coeur d'Alene, and I had forgotten all about the gas thing. And I looked at my gauge, and it was buried. And so I have this little button that says how many distance to empty. It wasn't good. It was not good. And I had to get to Kootenai because there was a patient on the table. There was no stopping for gas now. And I went, oh, dear Lord, help me. Multiply that last gallon of gas that I think I have right now. Because I need to get to this place. That was me last week, spiritually. I was running on fumes. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. And you get to the gas station, and you pull in, and it's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I made it to this point so that I can fill up with gas. That's what this Shabbat is. Because we spend 6 days a week running ourselves ragged, focusing on other things besides him. And it's not his plan that we limp into the Sabbath. But he understands that sometimes that's what happens. We'd be better off if we kept at least a half a tank in our spiritual tanks. Would it not? Because it only takes one time, ended up by the road. The tick, 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 tick. Oh, no. But sometimes we do that. We chug into church on Sunday. Especially if you've not made it a practice of coming to church weekly. If it's your habit to show up once in a while, you're going to chug into church. We need that constant. We need that appointment. God has established these appointments with us for our own good. It's not because he's a big meanie. It's because he wants to meet with us. Set aside this allotted time. Set aside time for me so that I can have that relationship with you. That's why it's important. People that are, I don't go to church anymore. Just full of hypocrites. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Don't, if you find the perfect church, don't go to it. You'll ruin it. No. We gather, first of all, to worship him. And we gather, second of all, because we're called to gather. We are called to be connected to one another in our lives. This is not something that we just do. It's who we are called to be. And if you show up once every three or four weeks, you're going to get out of it what you're putting into it. God wants to use each and every one of us. Each and every one of us he has given specific gifts to. And when you don't show up, God can't use your gifts in the midst of his people. The New Testament says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, as some of you have done. Why? Because you're going to end up chugging back in, running on fumes, the old devil kicking your butt during the week. And all you can barely do when you get in here is think about, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I should be doing this. Oh, I should be doing that. Instead of, Lord, I'm going to set aside this time. This is going to be a part of who we are as a family. That's what our girls. Well, yeah, can't we stay home from church today? No, this is part of what we do. This is a part of who we are. And God may want to use us to reach out and touch someone today. And that can't happen if we're not there. God may want to use someone else to bless us. And if we're not there, that can't happen. I wonder how many blessings that we miss by not keeping the appointed time of a Sabbath rest in our lives. How many of us would be healthier? Because this world will make you sick. Physically, spiritually sick. And if you're bombarded with the world constantly, 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 and you don't have that Sabbath rest, you're going to get sick. So in order to understand the festivals, we need to understand the Sabbath. It's the second commandment. Right behind, I am the Lord your God. You should not have and will not have other gods before me. And the second, I hope I'm getting this right, the Sabbath. Keep holy the Sabbath. Why? Because it's a picture of his creation. It's a picture of his provision. It's a picture of his redemption. And it's a picture of his final eternal rest. It's a promise. It is a promise given to us through the scriptures by God Almighty. Amen? Please rise. So I need to do a little clarification here because some of you are going to go home and do some yard work or whatever. And the thing is According to the Pharisees, Jesus violated the Sabbath. When his disciples were walking through the fields and picking the grain to eat, the Pharisees says, well, how can you be the Messiah? This is my paraphrase. When your disciples are defiling the Sabbath. And there was another time when Jesus says, well, if a donkey falls in a hole on the Sabbath, aren't you going to get it out? And another time he ticked them off. He was healing people on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees got mad because they were ritualistic. They didn't understand the spirit of what the Sabbath was. The Sabbath is the connection, the sign between you and God. And Jesus says, you don't get it. It's not about not working. That's not what it's about. It's about your connection with your Heavenly Father. And that's what it's about. We're not going to get ritualistic here. We're not going to get condemning if you go out and grab a rake. Some of you work on Sundays. And if that's the case, have another day where you set aside and you spend time with Him. It's not about the day of the week. It's about the connection with Him. Realizing that He is our Creator. Realizing we were created in His image. Realizing He's our Provider. He's our Redeemer. That's what the Sabbath is all about. And now that we have a better understanding of that, we will take a look at Pesach or Passover. We will take a look at the Feast of Unleavened Breads, and we will take a look at the Feast of First Fruits and how they all apply to today. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you for your revelation, Lord. The things that you have written and the things that you have had recorded, they're all for our benefit. And they all point to one thing, that you are the sovereign God, that we are all fallen, and that you have provided a redeemer so that we may be redeemed and restored in our relationship with you. That's what it's about. From the first book to the last book, that is the message. The message being, you love us. You want to have a relationship with us, and you have provided a way in your Son, Jesus Christ. Simple as that. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your redemptive work. We thank you because we don't deserve it. But you have provided a way to be restored to you. And we are forever grateful. I pray that you'd be with us this day. Bless us the rest of the week and help us to set aside weekly appointments with you so that we may grow in our faith and in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.